Here's a quick word from our football educational partners over at the Scouting Academy.
Listen, we've said it all the time. If you love the analysis and you're passionate about football, then you really need to check out the Scouting Academy. Whether you're a football coach, aspiring writer, or even aspiring football agent, the Scouting Academy is really a perfect place for you to learn and develop your skills as an analyst. With curriculum that spans over 375 years of coaching and personnel experience, the Scouting Academy offers you a 16-week online course that you can tailor and build to meet your needs and your interests. Whether you're learning about wide receivers or defensive linemen, you can make the experience what you want it to be. Listen, I've said it to you on this podcast many times. I've spent my own money, my own time, and time away from my friends and family because I am just this passionate about this game. And the Scouting Academy is the place where I really feel like I've learned the most I've ever learned about the game of football. It's made me a better analyst. It's made me a better person in terms of the coaching I do on the field. I can't say enough great things about it. If you have any questions about the Scouting Academy, please don't hesitate to reach out to Dan Hatman on Twitter or reach out to the Scouting Academy online via email. I'm open to all questions as well. Heck, I'm still even a student there myself. Please don't hesitate to reach out. I really think that once you learn all the tools and gain the knowledge that they have to offer, I really think you're going to be absolutely excited about the game of football again.
This is the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast.
This is where it all counts. This is why we're here. This is why each one of us are here.
And now, here's your host.
Welcome back to another edition of the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast. I am Paul Perticchese, and thank you for joining us. If you have been following along the last 2 weeks, we've been doing the Summer Stock Report series, where these mini podcasts where I've been sharing my thoughts, takes on every relevant skill player on every single team in each division in the NFL, telling you who I'd be buying, who I'd be selling, who I'd be holding, who's stock up, stock down, and just my general thoughts on all these players as training camps have opened up around the NFL. If you're listening to this Thursday morning, tonight is the opening game of the NFL season. The Hall of Fame game kicks off tonight, and then everybody starts their preseason slate, you know, a week from today. So it's really exciting. Football is back. There is no more weeks without football until the Super Bowl, you know, and we thought these mini podcasts was a great way to kind of set the stage before we transitioned completely to the upcoming college football season, the 2019 NFL draft, and started out with our 2019 positional preview shows, which will start off next week. So if you've been following along, last week I did the NFC East and AFC East, the NFC North and the AFC North, and earlier this week I've already done the NFC and AFC South, and then just yesterday the NFC West. So we're going to finish these series off with the AFC West. So let's get started with the Denver Broncos. Obviously, in the offseason, they went out and signed Case Keenum to a free agent deal. Many people thought they were also going to invest in a rookie in the first round, but they didn't. I think Case Keenum kind of solidifies the position for them for a year, maybe two, you know, as a veteran stopgap. I think in terms of fantasy, listen, I think he played way above his talent level last year. Could he do that again? I don't think he's going to do what he did last year, but I do think he could be a serviceable quarterback in fantasy, have some decent weeks. I think he's more of a low end QB2 on the streaming radar when he has good matchups, because he does have some decent weapons. Obviously, I'll talk about it, and they've been there for a long time, but I think he's more of a low end quarterback too, streaming type guy in good weeks. So it'd be interesting to see how he does. Behind him, Paxton Lynch, I think that ship has sailed. I don't think there's any chance that he becomes relevant there. Maybe down the line, another team, another place, if he matures, develops, but that seems to have been a wasted first round pick there a couple years ago for the Broncos. And then third in the depth chart is Chad Kelly. He's a guy that Matt and I were both really high on last year coming out of the draft. I know other people like Sigmund Bloom and Matt Waldman as well. it'll be interesting to see if he ever gets an opportunity to kind of develop maybe into at least a backup and ever get an opportunity to kind of push the envelope a little bit. I'm hoping to see him in preseason this year and kind of see how he looks, because it's been a long time since we've seen Chad Kelly on a football field. At the running back position, Devontae Booker was a guy that drafted a couple years ago. Early part of day three, he's been a guy who I was a really big fan of coming out of drafts. It's one of my bigger misses in a while. I loved his versatility as a pass catcher. I thought he could run between the tackles. I thought he had the athleticism to be successful. Up until this point, he has not really materialized into much of a running back at the NFL level. I do think he's still got some potential to be a decent, you know, RB3 type flex play if he gets the workload, especially with his receiving capabilities. I think it's going to be more of a committee, though, because they did go out and in round three this year took Royce Freeman. You know, Royce Freeman is a guy who I think is a solid running back. I think he is a guy who's pretty solid at everything, not really great at anything. I think he's a guy that, you know, I'm not saying they're very similar, but I had the same feeling of a guy like Kareem Hunt when he came out of the draft 2 years ago. You know, and obviously we sort of success at that. That Hunt had last year. Not saying Freeman's going to have that type of success, but if he wins the job, takes a heavy workload, he could definitely be an impactful player in both redraft and dynasty leagues. I think in dynasty drafts, he should go somewhere in that 8 to 10 range. I take the other top 7 running backs ahead of him, and I would think about taking Calvin Ridley or DJ Moore, but I think Royce Freeman is squarely in the mix in that probably even 6 to 10 range for some people, and I understand the thinking there. With him going in that range, I think he's a guy who is a decent between the tackles runner, really good inside zone for a guy his size. He's got some quick feet. He's a decent receiver at the backfield. Heavy, heavy workload, though, in college for a long time. So you wonder if, you know, how long, you know, he can be an effective back if he's getting a heavy workload and not in the committee. And then behind him, D'Angelo Henderson, intriguing guy that we heard a little bit about last camp. And then Philip Lindsay, an undrafted free agent, has been getting a lot of hype this offseason that, you know, Cecil Lammy and other people have been talking about him. I kind of like Lindsay on film when I watched him leading up to the 2018 draft, that he was quick, really good in pass protection, good receiver out of the backfield, runs really hard. So he's a guy that keep an eye on, keep him on the back of your radar and see if he ever materializes. At the wide receiver position, the old guard is Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. Both now are approaching their 30 and I think 31 seasons here in terms of the NFL. Both of those guys, I think Demaryius Thomas is still a mid to low end wide receiver 2. I think Emmanuel Sanders is still a wide receiver 3. I think both of them bounce back a little bit this year with more competent quarterback play. I think the value right now of getting Emmanuel Sanders is fantastic. I'd be picking him up in as a wide receiver 3 or flex in redraft leagues. I'd be trying to get my hands on him in dynasty drafts. I mean, in dynasty leagues or late in startup dynasty drafts, because I do think he presents good value. I think he was a little bit injured last year, and then the quarterback play, I think he could have a solid season this year. Demaryius Thomas, I think, you know, we might see a little bit more production with better quarterback play this year, but I think his elite years are behind him. But I don't think he's ever been a guy that won with separation and quickness. So I do think he could age pretty well. I mean, we saw Brandon Marshall. I know Brandon Marshall's kind of fallen off a cliff last year with the Giants, but we saw Brandon Marshall, you know, at 31, 32, you know, even 33, putting up pretty productive fantasy seasons there for the Jets. Maybe not his once upon a time great years, but one of his, you know, great years was, you know, well into his 30s there, like 32 or 33, you know, and then we sort of have a decent year to year after that. I think Demaryius Thomas is going to age pretty well. So I do think he's got a good couple years left at giving you wide receiver 2, wide receiver 3 production, because I don't think he's a guy that ever really won on athleticism and quickness. I always thought it was his strength and size, and I still think that's there. But they drafted two young guys in Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton. I think both of those guys will push for playing time this year as their third and fourth wide receivers. I think Carlos Henderson's on the outside looking in. I really think that this year, Deshaun Hamilton could be a guy that steps in and has a role. I think his route running is very good, one of the better in the class. I think he's a guy that could potentially play inside or outside, but I think sometimes when it's Sanders and Thomas on the outside, I think it'll be Hamilton on the inside, and he could be productive. I think Cortland Sutton is more of a stash and a buy in dynasty leagues rather than redraft leagues. I think Cortland Sutton is a guy who should be going anywhere from the early to mid second round of any rookie drafts. I think he's got big upside. I think he's going to be asked to replace Demaryius Thomas next year, and I think there's a good chance Deshaun Hamilton replaces Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, maybe they keep one of those guys, but I think both of them will be going into their last year of their contract next year, most of the guaranteed money off the books. So both of those guys could potentially be cut or traded or something like that. So I think Hamilton and Sutton could both potentially be starting as soon as next year. And at the tight end position, Jeff Howerman, Jake Butt are the guys, and Troy Fumagalli are the guys you should be keeping an eye on. Jake Butt is the one that intrigues me the most. If he wasn't injured leading up to his NFL draft in 2017, I think he would have went a round or so earlier. I think he's a guy that, while he doesn't have great athleticism or quickness, he's a guy who's a good route runner, strong, physical. I think he's a guy who could be effective in the NFL. So I'm intrigued to see if he wins that job. And if so, he could produce some tight end two stats this year. So keep an eye on him as well. Moving this over to the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously a quarterback, the Patrick Mahomes era has now officially begun with the trade of Alex Smith. I would be still buying Patrick Mahomes. I'd rather have Patrick Mahomes than anybody, any of this year's rookie class, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, Josh Rosen. I think his value is really high right now, so I think it would be an aggressive to try to go get him. People are really high on him. In terms of redraft value, I think people are too high on him. I think he's a great second quarterback. If you get a guy like, you know, I've been saying a lot, like Matthew Stafford or Matt Ryan, I think Patrick Mahomes is the perfect guy to pair with him. If you want to go two upside guys, maybe a Mahomes and, you know, a Mitchell Trubisky. But I kind of like the idea of Mahomes and then a veteran, whether it's on the higher end, like Ryan or Stafford, but I'm even okay with a guy like Eli Manning or Phillip Rivers, and then having Mahomes to kind of play those two out, see how Mahomes does. He gives you all that upside, but then you also have a good flaw guy with good value and flaw with Phillip Rivers or Eli Manning. At the running back position, it's Kareem Hunt, Spencer Ware, Shakandrick West. I think Shakandrick West, you know, he's the only guy that if someone gets injured could have any value. Spencer Ware was going to be the starting running back, I think, last year, or at least lead the committee. You know, 2 years ago, he was a pretty solid player, so it'd be interesting to see if he takes any of the workload back from Kareem Hunt. I think he's a solid player, but I think, you know, with Kareem Hunt there in the year he had as a rookie, I don't see Ware being really fantasy viable this year. But again, I think he could be a very good replacement if Kareem Hunt ever suffered an injury. I think Ware could immediately produce RB2 stats if that was to happen. In terms of Kareem Hunt, he's a guy who, tremendous year. I think he's being a little overvalued right now. He had that super hot stretch to start the year last year. Then we saw him be mediocre for a good portion of the year and then finish out the year okay. I think with the reemergence of Spencer Ware, they went out and signed Damian Williams. I'm not saying those guys are going to take a major workload at all or anything like that. But I do think Kareem Hunt is a guy who last year could go down as his best season of his career. I wouldn't be surprised in terms of target share with, you know, the addition of Sammy Watkins, who I'll get to momentarily. I think, and more vertical throwing down the field with Patrick Mahomes, I don't know if Hunt's going to see the workload that he got last year in terms of the receiving game. And then also, I thought he was a good talent coming out of college. I didn't think he was a great talent. So maybe I was wrong. Maybe last year, you know, is who he's going to be moving forward. But I think right now his value is a little bit higher for my liking than I'd want it. I like someone like me, I'd rather take the value on Joe Mixon, because I think Joe Mixon's a more talented player than the guy like Kareem Hunt. You know, for me, I would think about him. I probably wouldn't get him in redraft leagues, because once he's the area where he's going off the board, I'd probably pivot to, you know, a wide receiver like Odell Beckham or DeAndre Hopkins or Julio Jones. And then, you know, or even take a running back like Dalvin Cook, who I like more than Kareem Hunt as well. But he's going in that mix ahead of guys like, you know, Christian McCaffrey, ahead of Dalvin Cook. He's going in that Melvin Gordon type range, right behind Saquon Barkley in that like 6 to 8 range. For me, that's a little bit too high. I need to see it again with a full roster, with Spencer Ware there, with Mahomes at quarterback, and with the addition of Watkins before I completely buy in at that value that high in the draft. In terms of their wide receiver position, I already mentioned Sammy Watkins. He was their big free agent signing. They also obviously have Tyreek Hill. You know, after that, just marginal guys, no fantasy relevance right now. J.U. Chesson, DeMarcus Robinson. But going on Hill and Watkins, Watkins is intriguing. His value came down a little bit, that I'd be okay buying him now, you know, as a wide receiver three in dynasty leagues. I still think his value is probably late round one of a rookie draft. I think they didn't give him that contract just to make him run 9 routes and clear out routes. I think Andy Reid's going to utilize him. The rumor is he's going to move him all around the field. I think that would be great for him. And I think, you know, put him a little bit in the slot, put him outside, do different things with him. I think Watkins is a better pure wide receiver than Tyreek Hill, even though Tyreek Hill has that elite calling card with his speed and his explosiveness. I think Tyreek Hill is going a little bit too high for my liking in redraft leagues. I need to see one more year, you know, Whit Watkins there, you know, Whit Mahomes there before I'm all in at buying him as, you know, a low end wide receiver one or high wide receiver two. I just want to see him get the target share, you know, and still get the workload that he got last year before I buy in. In Dynasty, I still think he's a great buy, but he's going to cost a lot, so probably just hold him. I wouldn't be selling him because I do think he can be as good as he was last year. I'm just kind of taking a little bit of a wait and see approach and kind of want to see him do it one more year with the addition of Watkins. At the tight end position, obviously Travis Kelce, elite tight end, probably should be the number one or number two tight end taken in redraft, still the number one or number two tight end in Dynasty. He'd be a guy that I'm totally okay drafting in the third round of any redraft league. I think the second round I'd probably stick with a running back or wide receiver. But once we get to the third round, I'd be totally okay drafting Kelce. Gives you premier, stabilizes the position, gives you big time upside, and produces basically like a top end wide receiver as well. Moving on to the Los Angeles Chargers at quarterback, they got Phillip Rivers. I already talked about him a little bit. I think he's a safe quarterback too. I love pairing him with an upside guy like Mahomes or Trubisky. I think Rivers will have a solid year, but not a lot of upside there. So if I draft Rivers, I want to make sure I pair him with another upside guy. He'd be a great guy to buy in Dynasty if you're looking for, you know, a temporary fix for a couple years in maybe a two quarterback league. Rivers probably could still be had pretty cheaply because he's old. And he's probably got a good few years left of solid, you know, low-end QB1, high-end QB2 production. At running back, Melvin Gordon. For some reason, Melvin Gordon just doesn't get the love that I think he deserves in terms of the fantasy community. I think a lot of people just think he gets it because he gets a lot of workload. Listen, I don't care about yards per carry. I've said it numerous times. It's the dumbest stat in all of football. I think it's so misleading. So many factors go into it. I do not think it tells you the talent of a running back. So I never worry about that. But it seems to be a lot of fantasy analysts still continue to think Melvin Gordon is just a product of opportunity. Listen, I'm sure that's part of it. Fantasy is always about opportunity, but I still think he's a pretty good running back as well, that it's just been their O-line play has been poor. The O-line might be a little bit better this year. Melvin Gordon's going to get a heavy workload. He's going to be their goal line back. He's going to catch more passes out of the backfield this year with the injury to Hunter Henry. So Melvin Gordon deserves to go late round one, you know, in that 8 to 12 range in any redraft league. He's a RB1 in Dynasty formats as well. The one thing I'd be a little bit concerned about in Dynasty formats, though, is that I don't know if he's going to be in Los Angeles for the long haul. I think that he could potentially play out his rookie contract with the extra fifth year, and then I could see them needing money other places and they move on from him. That would be my only thing long-term about Melvin Gordon that I'd be slightly concerned about. After him, Austin Eckler jumped onto the scene last year, third down, pass catching back. You know, listen, he had some moments last year. I'm not a huge fan of him because I also like Justin Jackson, this year's seventh round rookie pick. He'd be the guy I'd rather have on my dynasty team than Austin Eckler. If Melvin Gordon leaves or gets hurt, I think Justin Jackson could take on a heavier workload. While he's a smaller guy, he handled a heavy workload at Northwestern. He's got some receiving ability. I love his quickness, vision, agility. I think Jackson's a pretty solid running back. So I'm a little bit intrigued by him to maybe get my hands on him in the fourth round or fifth round of a rookie draft and just kind of stash him away and wait and see. At the wide receiver position, obviously Keenan Allen, low end, first round pick or early second round pick talent, one of the top 5 to 7 wide receivers in redraft. Same thing in Dynasty, you know, precise route runner, doesn't, not an elite athlete, but such a good route runner, so savvy, so smart, great hands, is always open. I think he's in for a huge statistical year this year. Behind him, you got the Williams guys, Tyrell Williams and Mike Williams. Obviously, Mike Williams was a top 10 pick last year, barely played, barely did anything. It'll be interesting to see if they kind of force feed him on the field a little bit this year, try to see what they got in their former top 10 pick. I did like Mike Williams coming out of the draft. So it'll be interesting to see how he does this year. I still think he's probably worth a early to mid second round rookie pick. If you're talking about looking to try to acquire him via trade, I think he's worth a stash in any redraft league towards the back end of your roster, put him on the bench and wait and see. I think Tyrell Williams is also in that category. Tyrell Williams might end up being their second wide receiver on the roster in terms of production. So I think he's worth a spot on your roster too in redraft leagues. And I bet you could get him super cheap in a dynasty league and kind of see. He's a free agent after the year. So if he has a decent year, but the Chargers move on, Williams could be a guy who's playing on another roster and could potentially see a bigger opportunity moving forward. And then after that, they have Travis Benjamin. He's just a vertical speed guy. And then Artavius Scott, formerly of Clemson. He's a guy, more of a slot guy, quick, quicker than fast, a little bit of a playmaker. You got to manufacture touches. There's been some talk about him. And then also Dylan Cantrell tested out really well at the combine this past year. Is a guy who I know Sigmund Bloom and us have talked about maybe potentially using him as like a move tight end, kind of intriguing for something down the line, but haven't heard anything about that. And then at the tight end position, obviously Hunter Henry out the season, very disappointing. He was a guy who I would have been aggressively buying in Dynasty. He would have been top five, top six in redraft. I would still aggressively buy him though in Dynasty because wait till the year starts. People get a little, you know, people want things that could help them this year. I think there's going to be an opportunity at sometimes to buy Hunter Henry a little bit less than where his value was going into the season. And then he's a guy, just stash him away on IR and wait till next year, because I do think he's a top five, top six tight end still in Dynasty overall. In terms of this year, I think the rumor is they're going to sign Antonio Gates. I would expect that to happen at some point. Right now, Virgil Green is atop the depth chart with very little value. If they bring back Gates, he could have some touchdown upside, but I just think they're going to spread it out more to the wide receivers this year than using the tight ends. And then let's finish out the AFC West and the Summer Series Stock Report podcast with the Oakland Raiders at quarterback. They have Derek Carr coming off a terrible year. Just last year, he was a guy in that, you know, low quarterback one mix, not that far off the guys like Matthew Stafford and, you know, and Matt Ryan in terms of, you know, where, you know, his career trajectory. And then last year, he really struggled. It'd be interesting to see with John Gruden there, if they can kind of get Carr back on track and he could possibly present some value. Again, if you're playing that weight at the quarterback position, I'm okay with Carr. And then, you know, an upside guy, like I've been talking about, I think that's fine. If you're streaming, I think Carr's very much on the radar often, you know, because I don't think he's going to be on a lot of rosters in redraft settings. At the running back position, Marshawn Lynch, Doug Martin, DeAndre Washington, Jalen Richard. I think we've seen Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington. I don't think they're going to have much value moving forward. They're who they are, change of pace, depth guys, catching passes. So I think it's Marshawn Lynch's job for this year. But Doug Martin, the reports have been that he's looked really good. Listen, it wasn't that long ago Doug Martin rushed for like 1,400 yards. I know it seems like an eternity, but it was only 2 years ago, you know, Martin needed to get out of Tampa Bay. Let's see what he has. I'm intrigued by Martin. He'd be a guy that I'd be okay putting at the back of my dynasty roster. I'd be okay taking a shot on him at the end of a deep redraft league and just kind of see, because, you know, Marshawn Lynch, the age, he doesn't really catch passes out of the backfield. Doug Martin has shown that he's capable of catching passes. Doug Martin is younger. You know, it's like this coaching staff, I think, is going to play the guy who gives him the best opportunity to win. So if Doug Martin looks in any way, shape, or form like the guy who's had a couple of really successful NFL years, and he looks better than the older Marshawn Lynch, I could see Doug Martin getting a pretty heavy workload. So I think it'll probably be some kind of committee with those two guys. The other guys will just be depth. But keep an eye. Both of them are probably presenting decent value. I think Doug Martin could basically be had for free in anything right now. So I wouldn't be opposed to kind of getting him now before maybe he plays a preseason game. And if he looks good, then his value goes up a little bit. Marshawn Lynch, I'd probably be, to be honest with you, the round where Marshawn Lynch is probably going to go, I'd probably pivot to somebody else like Lamar Miller or one of the rookie running backs that has more upside. I think Lynch should probably be their goal line guy. He probably's got a pretty safe floor, but I'd rather shoot for a guy with a little bit more upside. At the wide receiver position, Amari Cooper, last year this time, was considered a top 10 wide receiver in Dynasty. His value is through the roof. Really struggled last year. I expect him to bounce back a little bit this year. I still think he's got a lot of talent, a lot of potential, still really, really young. So I actually think Cooper is going to be fed a lot of targets this year and bounce back in a pretty big way. After him, they brought in Jordy Nelson and traded for Martavis Bryant. Martavis Bryant may or may not be suspended as of this recording. Still no word that he's going to be suspended again. He's a guy who can take the top off defense. It's vertical for Brad. It'll be interesting to see if he gets a bigger target share than he ever got in Pittsburgh. And if so, can he maximize that and really become, you know, more consistent in fantasy? I think at this point right now, he's more of like a wide receiver four and just kind of, you know, he's going to have hit or miss with if he catches a big pass or not. But he might be on the field in two wide receiver sets, because I think Jordy Nelson at his age is more of a slot guy. So if that's the case, I think Jordy Nelson could still be effective in the slot. You know, we've seen older guys like Larry Fitzgerald stay very effective in the slot. I'm not saying Nelson's going to have that type of year, but I think that's where Jordy Nelson lives best at this point. So I actually think Cooper and Bryant should be on the field in two wide receiver sets, and Nelson When it's three wide receiver sets, he's inside in the slot. He can be had really cheaply right now, so not a bad stash to get on your dynasty team, maybe as a wide receiver four. In redraft leagues, you could probably get him as a wide receiver four or five. Use him as, you know, a depth wide receiver, occasional flex play, and see if he has anything left. And at the tight end position, Jared Cook, I think, presents good value in dynasty leagues, in redraft leagues, as a tight end, too, that it will have some upside. He had one of his best years last year production-wise. I think Carr likes to target his tight ends a lot. I think Cook is a guy who I have no problems taking in that 15 to 20 range of tight ends. If that many get taken in your draft, if you play in two tight end or tight end premium, I think he's a great backup in those leagues. In two tight end, he should be a starter. And you could be had for very cheap because of his age. So there it is. The AFC West in the book, the entire Summer Stock Report series in the books. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. We had never done it. This was the first year we decided to do this. We thought it would be a great way to kind of, you know, get people back into the swing of things. We don't get the chance to talk about NFL players too often besides the rookies. So we thought it was a way to kind of, you know, branch out a little bit, show our knowledge of the entire NFL, you know, besides around draft time when we do the preview shows for each team. We don't really get a chance to talk about teams as a whole. So we thought it'd be a fun little exercise to kind of, you know, hear our takes on these guys since they're fresh takes, different takes than other people who you hear their takes year round. So hopefully you enjoyed it. You know, let us know, you know, via a review on iTunes, Stitcher, Google platforms. Send us a tweet. Just letting us know if you thought these were fun, something to kind of keep in the fold for next year. These quick hitting type podcasts, because I did enjoy doing them. I thought it was a great way to kind of, you know, transition now to the 2019 college NFL draft, the 2018 college football season, as we turn our attention to all those prospects now as we finish up our film work this summer. So on behalf of our sound and tech engineer, David Nakano, and myself, thank you for joining us, and we look forward next time taking you from Saturday to Sunday.